Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, saints and friends, to another training day session. You know, it's truly, truly a great honor, amen, to be able to bring forth the Word of God, particularly for those that are new in Christ. Millions are getting saved now during this pandemic. It's the Gen 2050-20 effect, and I created that term from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, in which Joseph remarked that what was meant for evil, God is using for good. You know, God is, he's just awesome. You know, Satan just walks right into his traps all the time, you know, thinking he winning and he end up losing. You know, just giving honor to Christ, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. I just thank God for him, for the blood, for the Lord God, Jehovah, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And for God for letting us have access to his word and to all the pastors and all the saints and friends around the world. I say praise the Lord. Let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. And amen. Link up with the power source that we live by. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do give you glory, honor, and praise, and thanksgiving. We do bless your holy, righteous, blessed name. We thank you that you are our God. We thank you that you keep us, you deliver us, you watch over us, and you bless us. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't have to do it, but you did. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that we are here for this time, for this purpose of life, Lord. And Father God, I ask that you would bless, amen, each and every one of us to hear, amen, comprehend your word. We're asking that you bless our hearts to take it in, to understand that in the end, we win, and that it is your objective to bring us to that place of prosperity, particularly in the spirit with you. Father, I ask you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. Father God, I ask even more so that you continue to bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we will more know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory. We ask that you bless us to comprehend love, the length of it, the width of it, the breadth of it, the height of it, the love that you have that exceeds all our possible comprehension, which is why we have to stay close to you and hear you teach us your word. We ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work, and bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Bless the heart of every hearer. Bless the families of every hearer. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, pray for me because I'm trying something different today. I guess you could call it a simulcast, because while at the same time that I'm recording on the internet, I'm making a video for YouTube. Something I started. It's been a little challenging, interesting. It gives you more respect for people that do it, because when you watch videos, you just think they just sit in front of a camera and make a video. There ain't no all that editing and stuff go on, but praise the Lord for the technology, and to be able to do it. Imagine what Apostle Paul would have been able to do if he'd had Google, you know, if he'd have been there. So we got we got more access. We have no excuse. We have no excuse, because God has given us more tools than any generation that has ever been on the planet. Nobody has what we have. I mean, we can go on the phone, go in on a phone or on a computer and type in a question and get some answers. Even then, I was immediately amazed at how quickly they put Bible information, which was right on time. I remember back in 2000, I was in a Bible training program, which was very heavy. And I had to do a paper, and I did a paper on Abraham, and I learned some things about Abraham that are not in the Bible, and it really gives you a better understanding of what it is like, what it was like for him, because we go through the same process. You know, I ran across, I remember years ago, I ran across a person that actually thought that everybody in the Bible, they had been taught, everybody in the Bible was these righteous, got it together, never make mistake folk like Jesus. But that ain't the case. Everybody in there is flawed. Because my subject today, even though we're still going to be in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, is about why God didn't kill the devil right off the bat. You know, that would have solved the problem. That's a question they find on the internet. And they have a lot of good answers. All I do is add, I would say, a little ketchup, a little hot sauce, a little salt. Because in reality, it never really will sit right with you. I mean, we would love to have this world perfect. We want this to be heaven. But it doesn't fit God's plan. This is not heaven. This wasn't intended to be heaven. It's earth. It's going to be earth. But we all remember, we are only in the very beginning of this process. I know we've been here 5,000 years, but you got to put that on and put it up to a trillion years, okay? Put it up to quadrillion years. That's 17 zeros. You can't even imagine that. Imagine what your life going to be 17 quadrillion years from now, 25 quadrillion years from now. Because that's a if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a reality. The level at that life at that level is almost unimaginable. But that's another reason for this, why I'm teaching this. You know, everybody has an assignment. And this is obviously not an assignment, but pastors have their own assignment. They have enough to deal with. They got to deal with people with marital problems, child problems, money problems, all kind of problems. So God called on me to do Christianity 101, if you please. That's pretty much what it is. Now, you know, it's amazing. I heard a man of God, another one say, that he wasn't God. God told him he wasn't God's first choice. You know, my pastor said that too. Guess what? I wasn't God's first choice. I was the one that said, yes, thank God. My pastor, you know, one of the lessons, you know, every now and then when you're in church, you get what I call epiphany notes, epiphany lessons. Those are lessons that stick, that you never forget, that you harness and you make use of. And one of those was, do what God say, when God say, how God say, just do it. And that's the essence of life. You do that, and you will have a peaceful life. You'll have a blessed life. I can tell you that. You know, you can have, you know, Psalm 37:4 said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, religious folks say, God, put the desire you should have in your heart. Now, if you want a Corvette, you know, if you like Corvettes, you know what? God was probably thinking about you when he designed the Corvette. that's God, okay? The Silver Cloud Rolls Royce, I don't have one yet, but guess what? The Jesus Terry, I will have one simply because I want it. That's not my motivation for serving God. Listen, my motivation is I want to know the things of God. I want to see life at the depth of God. It is incredible. I mean, we're talking about an omniscient person. I like talking to people who are smarter than me about something I'm interested in. And God knows everything about God. He doesn't want to know everything about God. I want to know, what is it like to be a person that knows everything, that never had a birthday? See, this is the reality of a concept you have to get in your mind. You're dealing with a person that don't have a birthday. Everybody you know has a birthday, including Jesus. And they argue over that, but he did have one. You know, it's marvelous. It's marvelous. But he can tell you, and he will, if you let yourself mature in the things of God, I'm telling you, you will see some things, experience some things, and he'll teach you really the thing that you want to understand the more is how to use the power of God. I mean, in the essence, what we're talking about here, when we were talking about Adam and in the garden and then God creating man and how I said that God, man, is a God-class creature, it's about having authority and power. and having the discipline to properly use it. Okay? The question, why didn't God kill the devil right off the bat? Well, you know, there's a certain reality. Remember I said that if when God made man, if he had not made Adam a body, Adam would have been equal to God. And that would have created a problem. That would have put two gods in the universe, two total gods in the universe. And God ain't having that. It's just a reality. If you read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42 to 46, you will see God repeatedly say, I am the only one, I am the only one, there's none like me, he is God. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I didn't pick my birthday. I don't know. I tried to, you can't really make deals with God, but I put an offer that if I act right, I get to ride the rapture, and that's because I like going fast. And I don't think 186,000 miles per second has got to be fast. That's going to be a blast, okay? But everybody is going to be less than God, okay? But there's some understanding. Again, you can't read the Bible in a religious cliché-ist fashion. You have to read it with the process of thinking that this is the God is showing us his will and his plans for eternity. Everything's in there. This is the Bible isn't just a book to get to heaven. We don't need that. We know enough about that. I mean, if that was the case, you could just get saved and die. You know, it wouldn't be no need for all this training, this up and down life. I mean, man tries everything he can to secure life. He thinks, if I got $1 billion, I'll be secure. If I got all these things, I live on a plantation, I got 200 acres of land, I'll be secure, and then he catch a flu. All this, and even now, you got people, you got rich people shaking at the boots because they're worried about COVID-19. Because now, this is deep, and I guarantee you some of them are thinking, well, they should get saved. Listen, they should get saved. They dumb if they don't. Success is not just having a bunch of stuff. Because as soon as you leave here, everybody go to the auction and buy your stuff. That ain't nothing. You ain't taking nothing with you. Denzel Washington said he ain't never seen a U-Haul at a funeral. You ain't taking nothing. That's God's stuff. Everything belongs to God. You belong to God. Okay? You may think you're your own, but that's a delusion, you know. But we can pray that off you. All right. So God's long-term plan is eternity. And then this is, now I understand, this is, I base this on scripture. Because you see in, let's read Revelation 1. And I think it's verse 6. And it reads, well, let's read verse 5. So verse 5, it says, "And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead." If there's first, then there's going to be a second. And I'm like number 220 billion. "And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood," and get this, this is the key part, "and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, you got to understand the roles of the kings and the priests. And kings are obviously rulers. And priests are intercessors. They intercede. They hold the peace between God and man. And that's what our primary job is. If you may remember, I said everybody that is saved got saved because somebody prayed for them. It didn't just accidentally happen. They didn't just wake up one day, their brain got a revelation, I need to get saved. Even their basic curiosity was triggered because somebody here prayed. And by the time we get to Moses, where the priesthood is introduced, we'll get the details on how priesthood operates. You'll begin to see that. Okay? Now, bottom line is, okay, we don't, even though we have, some people have, some of the Christians started a priesthood school, and there's more than just the Catholics that had that, okay? But their intent is good, but it ain't, it doesn't fit now. That was all right in the Old Testament, and that's not what it is in the New Testament. In the Testament, now, everything up to Jesus is the Old Testament, which basically a testament is a legal agreement between man and God, and it establishes, it is for the kingdom, it was an agreement between the kingdom of God, between God and his kingdom of people on earth. Now, but you have to understand the prophecies, you got to understand mankind and God at the same time. So the things what we're going to look at is God and some of the things about his characteristics. I mean, there are quite a few things, but I'm only going to touch on a few to try to give you a general picture. And that is, I want to go to, let's go to Numbers 23:19. And I want you to, it immediately gives you some things, tells you some things about God that you have to understand. It's part of, because let's go and read it, and then you hopefully, it says, God simply says, God is not a man, okay, that he should lie, and that, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? See, that's one of the things, or as it's basically God, he used the word repent, but it doesn't, that just means change your mind. Go 180 degrees in the King James. Now, I want to go somewhere else. I want to read another one, Deuteronomy 32:4. Because I want you to understand that there's some practical things. Like I say, God, in his nature, for us to understand, because after this, we're going to go back to Genesis. I want you to see something in Genesis chapter 2. Maybe I should have went there first, but now that we're here in Deuteronomy 24, talking about God, well, I'm going to read verse 3, too. It says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. Works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Just is he. You know, one thing about God, he can't do evil. I mean, he can only do right. God can only do right. He can't do no evil. But now, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Okay, remember, God is a God, man is a God class being, and but he just like you come here out of your mother's womb knowing nothing, Adam didn't know nothing. None of us knew anything. So we had to know some things, and that's because of verse 9 in Genesis chapter 2. Now, I'm going to start at verse 8. And now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. Now, this was right after God had created Adam. Like I said, he gave him a job. You know, men should work. You know, pursuing work. And nowadays, you can work from home. So, you know, it's a lot easier. It says, and the Lord God made All kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge in good and evil. Now, just imagine, now God made everything. He made a perfect world. He made Adam, who at this time had never sinned, and everything is perfect. But there's this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why is that tree there? Why would you have a tree there that if you ate of that tree, you're going to know evil? I mean, think about that. The question is, why does the devil exist? Why does that tree exist? And that is because man is a God-class being, and he needs to learn what that is and who he is and what his responsibility is. We don't, you know, again, we think about life in the short. God is thinking about the long, and he is thinking about us with a glorified body. You need to remember that term. A glorified body ain't the same as the one we have right now. Okay? It's the kind that Jesus has right now. And many of the things that Jesus did when he was on earth the first time, we will be able to do, and the things he did after his resurrection. I don't think we really have to grasp that, because that will be the status of our life. A lot of things we do now, we create vehicles and mechanisms to do things. We got airplanes to fly. We got boats to float. We got cars to drive. We got telephones, cell phones to talk with each other. We won't need all that. I will be able to call you. I will be able to call you, have a private conversation with you, and I don't have a cell phone. The same way, now you're seeing that in operation, in that everybody can't hear God, even some Christians. They should all be able to, because that's one part of the package that Jesus paid for, okay? But that is a reality. Everybody can't hear God. People think they can, but they can't. Well, some he can. Let me tell you, when God talked to a person who is not born again, that again occurred because God went and found a born again person, authorized to pray for that person, so God could send an angel to minister to that person. There are events like that, such as that in the Bible, okay? So all the authority still remains with mankind. See, and God says he does nothing in the earth without contacting his prophets. That's Amos 3:7. And that would include, see, I learned something. This is why we have to watch how we behave all the time. Because we go to office levels, as we submit to God, he introduced or allow us to walk in certain offices for a period of time for his benefit. Okay, you know, I know a couple of people that they say they're not prophets. Everything they speak of come to pass. I mean, it is what it is. But they don't claim that off. They know they pastors and they know they teachers, but they do. When they prophesy something, when they speak forth something that hasn't occurred, it always come to pass. One in particular, I just say it, my pastor, in March 2009, he told us to prepare for what's going on right now. And he repeated it over that period of time, for that 11 years, he repeated it. He even put forth efforts, detailed efforts, on how we should prepare our finances, management, and all the things to do, and above all, staying in tune with God. So I know, being a witness, being there, nobody at Word of Faith International Christian Center in Southfield, Michigan, unless they wasn't there and didn't get the tape, they can't say they didn't know, because I was there. I'm there. I know. I just had to throw that out there. But God is not intent on us not winning. That would be defeatist. He's not like that. We don't exist for his entertainment. We exist for his joy. That's the difference. See, our success gives him joy. But he never miscalculates or undermines I don't know how to put it, but he's very well aware of our capabilities in the flesh and out of the flesh. Okay? So what we're talking about here is you got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? It's there. It's a blessing. Listen. You also notice that there was the tree of life. If Adam had of eaten the tree of life first, he would still be here today. And this planet would be some kind of troublesome place because everybody born after that still be alive. And that would be a problem, see. So, now, where does this trouble begin? Well, it begins before man. Now, you remember I talked about that in some little bit. There was a rebellion in heaven. And, you know, the thing about it, see, the one thing about the Bible is God holds the key. The first six chapters of the Bible, you got the creation of man, the fall of man, and the first destruction of man. And a lot of the characteristics of what went on back then that caused that are going on today. Okay, we just have more details. We get it on CNN and CBS and ABC. But it went on. It was the same thing. And the thing that we have to understand is that, again, the key factor to managing your life is understanding love, the two great commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That one, you know, some people, they should say love above themselves. But you got to have self-love. But most people, for the most part, love themselves. Now, the challenge is understanding how this life works and accepting that reality. I mean, down through the years, I mean, this is the thing. I've seen an evolution over the last 30 years in Christianity. I remember the introduction of, quote, the word church. And basically, churches before that, and some still today, were some place you went to occupy time between 9 and 11 on Sunday. It's almost like you went to get your car punched. Okay, Lord, I went to church. How many times I got to go to church? 672 times, and then I'm good. Some people believe that. I've actually talked to somebody that actually thought the church time they put in between the ages of 10 and 17 covers them for life. I don't argue with people. Because, again, I can give them information if they want it, but revelation comes from God. And God don't give revelation if you don't want it. Everything that I'm saying, this is why I keep saying, go to God, go to God, go to God, go to God. I don't want you to just be totally relied on me. I want you to go to God. I don't want you to, because you'll be trying to match intellect. And that don't matter. Listen, there are, in America, over 900 variations of Christianity alone. In America. I didn't even look up how many there are in the world. I mean, because humans are like that, and the deep part about it is whenever I run into somebody that come up with some, I'll just say different belief, that I know really they misunderstood scripture. When I ask them, did you ask God about it? That should be, you know what? That should be an immediate yes. You shouldn't even have to think about that. You shouldn't have like, did I ask God about it? Listen, your life on the line. You held accountable for what I'm held accountable for what I'm telling y'all. And I know I'm saying some things that people never hear. Ain't nobody, I'm willing to bet, nobody talks about the fact that if God had made Adam without a body, he would be equal to him. Okay? But, and some, they would call it what is called superfluous, unnecessary. Well, we're dealing now with a generation that are really struggling to find a, quote, need for God. But they, it isn't a need for God, it's God needs you. Strange, but that's the reality. And he above the need, he wants you. But, for instance, you find very few, this is why Jesus said that very few rich people can make it into heaven. You can make it. Abraham, Luke 16, made it into heaven. He's there now, okay? Paul was a mobile homemaker when he wasn't busy preaching, okay? Back then they would have called it. It was called a tent, but it was a mobile home. And you can, if you bought a mobile home, then you know what kind of money Paul had. Plus, he was a business fan. He came from a rich family, okay? But he said, oh, that don't mean nothing. He gave it up for Christ. See, the reality is, again, Paul said, prove all things. Everything, now, like I said, it'd be one thing if I was quoting you out of my imagination. I'm just showing you, highlighting, get this. Your pastor teaches sanctification. He's teaching you the word, teaching you to walk in the word, teaching you to respond to every situation according to the word. The reason is because you are learning how to utilize the power of God within. There's code organizations that understand we got power. They just don't understand the covenant. And they want to show themselves. See, they basically challenge men. But and again, they can't know God unless we pray for them. You know, because and I've been successful at it a couple of times. I didn't have to argue with them, debate with them, because that don't prove nothing. If you can go to debate, that's why the Bible prohibits. Paul says, "Fruitless effort," Titus 3:9. I don't need to debate them unless they're trying to learn something. It's one thing. The asking question is not always debating. They some people just argue. You can tell when they don't agree. They don't agree. I just stop talking. But the point of the matter is, everybody knows. So that's why they say every lie got some truth in it. Okay? Because people got all types. You got 900 versions of Christianity. They got some truth in it. But what they miss almost all the time. It's that disconnect with God. I believe. No, okay. What did God say? I mean, it'd be different if God did not talk to you. You know, I was, when I first got saved and the Lord started talking to me, I thought I was kind of like lost it. But I was so glad to hear other people say God talked to them. If God is talking to you, one thing I can say for sure, God has never told me to do anything that cannot be backed up by his word. Now, I know what I'm saying may seem like it's not necessary information, but this, see, as we get on down the road, like when we get to prayer and how prayer really works. Because when you're praying, when a person prays, in some situation, they're forcefully taking authority from Satan. Satan, after this rebellion here that occurred in Genesis, Satan actually be God of this world. That's it. So he now has the authority. What he doesn't have is authority over everyone that has submitted to Jesus Christ. They have authority. And sadly, a vast majority don't know, because they commit to things, or they reject, or they have such a misunderstanding of how to utilize the power of God. It always falls back to using the power of God. And that's what this is about. But letting us use that little bit of power in prayer helps us to understand how much power we wield. Okay, like I experienced brownouts, but I don't have blackouts. Haven't had blackouts for 10 years. You could say it's because of where I live, but everybody around me get blacked out. Except for more folk are becoming aware. See, case in point, I ain't going to get into a useless thought. Psalm 34:7 and Hebrews 1:14 speaks about angels. It says, the angels of the Lord encamp around those that fear him, revere him. Okay? That's not automatic. Hebrews 1:14 said that angels minister to the heirs of salvation. That's everybody that's born in the blood of Christ, born through washing the blood of Christ. Okay. What it will not tell you in there, you will not find a scripture that says every day is a new day, and every day you have to command the angels a new assignment. Now, Deuteronomy 29:29 said the things that are secret belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us. Now, I may have said it backwards before, you didn't say that right. Listen, what's right is there are secret things. There are things that wouldn't be in the Bible if God didn't want you to know there's some things you will only learn from him. Let me tell you, see, again, it comes back because God is not going to just step aside. He's going to be in the center of focus at all time. And this is where you find a lot of people. This is why I see people wanting to pray stuff that God ain't going to do. He gave us authority to declare. You know, when I came through for a long time, they would speak, and they still do, but they decree and declare. Well, what was missing for me was, well, one is, like I say, there's clarity that's true in the word, that you can do that. But I cannot override the will of a person. That's just the bottom line. I could pray for you to the earth spin backwards. And if you want to go, as they say, God will protect your right to go to hell. that's a choice. Unless you're mentally damaged. Okay, that's an override. But you get it right. You can be as wrong as you want to be. God won't argue with you. You know, I can't argue with you. If he can't change you, I can't change you. Okay, my job is to give you information. He gives you revelation, but you get that. Paul said, prove all things. You prove all things by asking God about it. That's it, everything. Because a lot of things, a lot of issues, the Bible is full of things that just, as I say, they shock you. They're like, that don't make sense. God don't have a birthday. That don't make sense. Okay? I mean, the fact, okay, let's look at something here. Revelation chapter 12. And let's look at where the trouble started. Because the trouble didn't surprise God. Now, I want to read Revelation 12:7. Now, get this. This is written in 96 A.D. Now, this is somewhat 4,000 years after Adam's birthday. And here we're going. Now, God, you would think this would have been in the beginning. Let me tell you, the Bible is a book that's the middle's in the beginning, and the beginning is at the end, and that's God. He says that. He's God that declared the end at the beginning. He knows. That's the other one thing about the Bible. It is the only book on the planet out of all these religious systems. It is the only book on the planet in which that can speak of the future and be accurate 100% of the time. We might misinterpret some things, but it's right. And when we pursue God, when we're wrong about it, he will correct us and give us a right understanding. Okay? Now, this is where the trouble began. Now, I'll put it like this. Actually, this is where the trouble in heaven ended. You know, they don't have trouble. They don't put up with stuff in heaven. They don't. It says, and there was war in heaven. It's amazing they use that term. It lasts about 30 seconds. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, which is Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And that great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. Satan means adversary, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Now, that's what I was talking about when Satan got kicked out of heaven. He didn't want to do what God say, how he say do. He got a big head. Satan was a, let's go to Ezekiel. Let's get a picture of Satan when he was called Lucifer. I mean, you got to get this guy. He has never been through what we have gone through. He don't know what it is to have a headache. He know how to cause them, but he hasn't had a headache. I mean, this guy, I mean, it's a level of stupidity that I just don't get. I think I want to read this in just, I'm particular about the King James. That's just me. You know, I see too much of trying to logicize the Bible. You know, there's no logic. There's God's logic. There's God's intent. And I'm willing to think, and I just recently found some things out even about these theologians, which I saw that a long time ago. But, you know, somebody told me once, it's like eating fish with bones in it. Eat fish, throw out the bones. That's just the simplicity. Now, this here in Ezekiel 28 is another activity going on, but it's in theological terms, is not a theophany. I'm lacking the thought on the term that describes, but pretty much this event. And then again, like I said, if you have a problem with how I'm reading this or what I'm saying about this, I'm not the one that you, ain't no use to confront me about it. You could disagree. I'm like, okay, you disagree. Because at the end of the day, it pans out. All the pieces of the puzzle have to fit. Okay? And very few people. Matter of fact, I met someone today, been a Christian. I mean, this is a committed Christian, no question about it. I mean, they have a prayer life. That says a lot. They have, because most Christians don't. The communication with God is command, not out of love. It's serving God in prayer. That means so much to God. That is so much to God that in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, God had stored up the prayers of a man who, a proselyte, who had not come into the full knowledge, had no knowledge of Christ. But he was a proselyte Italian, because that's the only way you're going to get prayer that God will store, was that you had to turn away from your pagan ways, your pagan traditions and teachings, and turn to the one God teaching, okay? But it said that his prayers had come up before God, his prayers and his alms, his giving, because he was committed, had come up before God as a memorial. When you read in the book of Revelation, you see prayers of the saints entering the atmosphere of heaven. That's so significant. And yet, you got so many pauper Christians. I mean, you got some of it's sad that a lot of these people we call rich are paupers. They're going to enter, they entered into heaven. They had a lot of stuff down here, but they got nothing in heaven. Zero, broke, ghetto. They ought to be glad. Paul said that if you want in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that some saints are just going to get in by the fire, just going to barely make it in. But they stuff going to get burned up. All this, see, this is, Satan is good at tricking people into idolatry. This is, understand, I want to get right to, I want to read in verse Ezekiel 28:13. Okay, I'm going to start with 12. God is, see, God is, he has to communicate with people about what's going on, okay? And this, and God is talking with Ezekiel, and he's explaining to him something for the record so that we will understand later on what happened. How did all this get messed up? And this is, again, when Satan is in heaven, and ain't no telling when that was. Could have been 15 trillion years ago, okay? But he got kicked out. But this is the why he got kicked out. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation. That's an equivalent of saying bad news. Now, it's talking about upon the king of Tyrus. Now, I believe it's in Ephesians 6:12. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, write that down, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan, God uses people. Satan uses people. Okay? Now, this is where the clashes come in, because it's talking about the king of Tyrus, which we know Tyrus could not have been before the creation of the earth. But it wouldn't even matter if you knew the term. The reality is, this is what happened. That's really the other down, you know. You can get all, what is it, hermeneutical, all that you want to. But the reality is, there's a devil, there's trouble in the earth, and the solution have already been given. That was Jesus Christ. The authority of a believer is supposed to, we're supposed to be actively involved in prayer. Somebody should be praying going on 24 hours a day. We're up 24 hours a day. When one part of the world is asleep, the other part is awoke. So it should be going. And you don't have to spend 8-9 hours praying. You just need to be led of the Holy Ghost. Now, you should pray for about an hour, but that's another issue, and I have to explain how you get to the hour. I'll tell you that. Jesus prayed for an hour. You know, you grow to that. You don't start out doing that. You know, you go for 5 minutes and 10 minutes, and then you got to really understand what you're doing, and it'll help you. It encourage you when you realize you had that authority. It says, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Now, he's talking about Lucifer, talking about Satan. So thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, see how you get these clashes? Tyrus came some 1,800 years later. But the person that he's talking about here has been in Eden. Okay? Now, it says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Now get this. You always see these pictures of the devil with horns and fangs and long fingernails and looking all violent. That's because if you've seen him like this, the one thing you would not be is afraid. Fear is his tactic. that's his tactical, that he learned tactical psychology. It says, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz. Those are beautiful stones. I know y'all ladies know what diamonds are, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day you was created. He was a one-of-a-kind angel. He had his own sound system. He led, this is why Satan stir up. So if you're going to listen, if you're going to be in a choir, do not let what go on in the choir cause you to stop singing for God. Whenever they give you, whatever come against you, if you listen, choir members, if anybody, choirs have dramas. Every church I know got churches, got the choir has drama. This is why. Satan is jealous of them. And if he can find a weak person, when a person come against you, you pray for them. Because they need on by spirit. That's all. And you're going to learn when we get to prayer that you can only handle 1,000. So if 1,100 come after you, you might begin to weaken. You might not give in, and you might be able to draw. You can draw on power of the Holy Ghost and overcome it, okay? Need to understand who that is and why you have him in you. The workmanship of the breasts was prepared in the end of the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub, okay, which that covereth. And I have set thee so, and you was on the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You, listen, now this is the kicker. You were perfect in your ways from the day you was created till iniquity was found in you. Now, you grasp the picture here. And this is where we're going to be concluding. Satan, this is the earth before he got kicked out. So just imagine what his power, you got to understand the power of an angel and his ability to travel and to be able to be motive and the strength and the as you can see the beauty he has. I can only imagine that he was probably flying around, looked down in some water, saw his reflection, and was awed by it. Then being on the earth allowed him to utilize some of the strength that he had. And he began to see, obviously, that he had quite a bit. There's no telling what he did, but it elevated, it changed his thinking and his perception. Because what we read in Revelation chapter 12 was a rebellion. The Bible says that he got kicked out with 1/3 of the angels, and that is an enormous amount of angels. We're talking probably in the trillions. But if you knew their power, the Bible said in the book of Revelation that one angel set his foot upon the earth and it caused an earthquake. See, and again, I must remind you that you, outside your body, have 100,000 times. I don't know how great the power level is, but I know it's more than an angel. And if one angel can set his foot on the earth and cause an earthquake, just probably let his heel down and shake the earth, you got some tremendous power. Now, this dude probably thought, if I get a couple trillion angels together, we can overthrow God. And next week, we're going to pick up on this rebellion. We're going to be going in Isaiah chapter 14, because I want you to get a picture of what is going on. How all this mess started, but again, the end story of this is the reality of the fact that in the end, we know God wins. We know in the end, you win if you stay with Christ. But there's a reason for all this. It's not just something that happened. God is not just entertaining himself. It's not for nothing. It is for eternity. It is forever. And that's a concept that we really don't get, but you're going to get it. Just accept it. The more you accept the more reality God will show you. That's just how he is. That's how I got to this place. See, I'm comfortable with this. See, it just, the main thing, remember this, the easiest way to live this life is just to love God. You know how to keep a relationship with a person. You know things. God, he wrote down. He very few people. Right? I don't know. My wife didn't give me a list of what offends her. I had to find out the hard way. But anyway, it would make things a lot easier. God, on the other hand, has given us a list. He called things abomination, things that offend him. There's a reason for that, too. With God, God is, forgive me for that, a purposeful person. Remember that. There isn't anything that he does that he just does for nothing. He is a purposeful person. Everything has a purpose. But it all relates to our development as citizens of the kingdom. And with that, I want you to know that this is why guy your pastor. You think he's quoting some rules and regulations and trying to make your life restricted, and, you know, you think he's killing all your fun? No. He has an obligation and a responsibility to prepare you to serve eternally in the kingdom of God, in which you will have immense power while under submission to God. And it is only in this life that you can illustrate to God that you are willing to be submissive to him. Their characters, that is clear. They weren't submissive. Satan wasn't submissive. He's never had the problem. He's never been cold, never been broke, never been sick, never been tired. And yet he wasn't happy with that. He wasn't happy with that. Okay? And that could happen. Okay? But again, like I say, this is what all this is about. And with that, maybe this is your first time listening. This is your first time hearing this message, because I talk with some people. I've invited some people to listen in. And I want you to just say this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm lost. I confess my sin to you. And I ask that you forgive my sin and, Lord, save my soul. I believe with all my heart that you are Jesus, dead, died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. And I am in full agreement with that. And Father God, and I thank you. I believe I receive Jesus as my Savior. I thank you for the provision of salvation by the blood of your own Son. I thank you. I believe I receive Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So with that, I would say tune in next week and we'll pick up, because, like I say, once you have a full understanding of what is going on, you get and you understand your position and your place in Christ, it becomes easier for you to submit to the will of God. Now, understand, you can receive the blessings of God. I mean, if you just receive Christ today, you're entitled to all his blessings. If I was you, I'd get everything. If you need a house, you need a car, just hit him right on up. I need a house, I need a job, I need a car. But you got to, the other part of that is you have to learn to listen. Now, he will reach across to you because you're new at this. See, it's actually easier when you're brand new. When you're down 40 years down the road, he make me stretch for it, you know. But amen. So with that, I just say praise the Lord, and I'll see you, hear you next week. Amen. Praise God.
Your boy. I got a plug on the love if you need something. I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing or action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you're trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug. I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he needs is your trust. But you the back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight.
He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip, but God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you could be the same way and have the same faith, but you gotta change cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able about his children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky and make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God. You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from them above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.